Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I haven't seen an ugly Secret Service agent in my life, though.
Really? There's some. I think there's some.
There's no roly polies. You gotta be. You gotta. You have to be like. You have to be in shape.
I have
and
no
somewhat
idea.
Put together no, to all protect
of,
the
all
presidents.
Of Harry Truman's Secret Service guys had eczema. That's a fact.
Harry Truman.
One of my favorite things that you all do is the fat guy voice. And so there's a line where they talk about the shrimp balls, and I go, "Oh, I love their balls."
Thanksgiving weekend, I may have gotten word from a spouse that was it.
The
when
turkey's
I got dumped.
Burnt and it's over.
Yeah. Good one, huh?
Yeah.
So Oscar brings up a good point.
Talk about Black Friday.
God, I remember how horrible.
So we're not
was.
Going shopping?
I was so, yeah. Oh, she would be later. Anywho, but
all that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Ha, butter.
Hello.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show for Wednesday. It's great to have you all with us. Because Oscar gave me a name I can use, I'm going to go right to the beginning, because this is a very brief story, and then we're going to bring in our talking head here. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show from Monterey, California, Buffalo, Wyoming, Southington, Connecticut, Cap d'Ali. What is it?
Cap d'Ali.
Cap d'Ali.
Cap d'Ali, France. Oh, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Gdansk. I just got a text from my daughter at 5:08. So they're home. They're home safe.
Oh, good.
So that's good. My last birdie is in the nest. They left last night.
Tweet.
And from Miami, they flew out of Miami. So I want to just get this out of the way. Sometimes, as much as I preach that I need to be calmer and need to smell the roses more, I don't like to ring a bell that life has been good.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as having my family in, one of the better Thanksgiving experiences of my lifetime, where what mattered was the most important thing. Thank you for the
applause. No, but you know what? It is. It's huge, because you know what? This is what I think as a country, not just you, but as a country, this is what we need
also,
right now.
For you, think about your scoreboard. How many broken Thanksgivings have you had?
I've had a few.
Yeah.
I've had a number. I was...
thanks, Ina.
I'm trying to think. I may... Yeah. Yeah. Thanksgiving weekend, I may have gotten word from a spouse that was it.
The
when I got dumped.
Burnt and it's over.
Oh,
it's
I didn't. Over. I didn't realize that was a Thanksgiving surprise.
Maybe with my mother visiting from Connecticut. Yeah. Good one, huh?
Yeah.
So Oscar brings up a good point.
Talk about Black Friday.
That was a... God, I remember how horrible.
So we're not
was.
Going shopping?
I was so... Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she would be later. Anywho, but... All right, enough of that negative. I have to say...
I bought 22 toasters.
So... I appreciate life, and I want to make sure I tell you I appreciate life. But the daily grind for parents and people that are out there slaying the dragon and hopping into their cars every day and doing their thing and getting it there. And there is, if you are one of the morning people of the world who are out and about at 7-ish to get your day started, get into your work job or your job work, and get your kids to school, get, do your commuting, carpooling, whatever you do. If you're part of that scene, you'll relate to this a little bit. And if you're part of the drop your kid off at school scene, which I have done recently to just give us a little more time, about a half hour more time in the morning, you'll get what I'm talking about here. So I'm just going to set the table really quickly on what my routine is now. My routine is usually out of the house at anywhere between 5 after and 10 after 7 a.m. when I drive my kid, the equivalent of maybe a few miles, to his school. And his elementary school has a massive, as many of them do, a massive drop-off program. You're either car or bus. He's car in the morning with me now, and he's bus in the afternoon. Mm. So I drive over to a major artery where the powers that be down here in Florida have decided to shipped out about 2 million residential communities. And they are improving the infrastructure to do that by widening the road. So what we have now is a single lane with an improvised emergency lane. And the right turn to turn into my kid's school opens at approximately promptly 7:25. So I will get there anywhere from 7:15 to 7:20 to wait for all of these massive amounts of cars to start the parade of dropping off. And it is a machine.
Oh,
and
it
is efficient. And they have it coming from both directions. And even the light is timed and regulated in a certain way that when the light turns red, you cannot be in my lane and turn right because you have to let the other people coming from the other direction get it. It is a study in efficiency. It is on time. And there are varying degrees of of speed. Sometimes you can actually tell when they're having a little lollygag day there, but it doesn't happen very often.
When it
and it's
works,
pretty cool.
Are you pleased with it when it works?
It works almost every day, and I'm having and it's time I spend with my kid.
Yeah,
and so I have no issue with that. That applies up until I wave to him as he is walking into the school and I'm driving away.
And that's when you yell, make good choices.
It's make good choices. After that, it is what I would like to describe as go time. The love of having the kid in the car doesn't mean anything to me. It's like, get the F out of my way and let's go.
You're done.
So I would like to say hi to a lady who will be referred to, and thank you for that, Oscar, as Audi Karen. All right. Audi Karen, who, how shall I describe this, does not possess the motor skills, and I use that not as a pun, but the skill set to move her Audi in such a way that that time will not be wasted.
Mm. Okay.
And it starts at drop-off. You get a series of, I'll say, 10 cars that go at a time. A pod of 10 cars, stop, park, open the door, kids get out, the pod of 10 moves on. But not for Audi Karen, who somehow is experiencing attention deficit disorder, perhaps a yeast infection causing her to scratch a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm pissed. Let me have it. Shock, let me have my moment.
Yeah, shock jockery.
Or is just a little slow.
Right.
And what the good thing about this is once I get to the light leaving the school, probably not going to have to deal with Audi Karen at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's not the case because Audi Karen, who gets to the light and stops when there could have been maybe 4 or 5 more cars on that yellow light. And the tradition is you let us get through the light because we have to wait otherwise a good 5-6 minutes to wait for that light to cycle again. Audi Karen is so slow and so distracted that Audi Karen is not able to get through the light. And I'm now at my second time. She started up from the pod late and now she goes to the light late and she seems to be looking. And I'm like, why are you looking when there are, you know, this is a left-hand turn light and with a stream of 15 cars in front of you. She misses that. Mm. I'm waiting that, drumming now. Now it's twice. Audi Karen, when the light finally turns green, hits her accelerator as though we are at a NASCAR event. It's the beginning. It's the pole position for the Indy 500, which means Audi Karen is now in front of me. And all I'm thinking is Audi Karen. Is Audi Karen going to take my turn?
Oh, no!
Is Audi Karen going to take the right turn, too? And I see that she is slowing down early after going 80. She's slowing down to 40. And Audi Karen is going to take the right turn. She's going to take the right turn. Is Audi Karen going to take the left turn and go to the Starbucks? Because at this point, I am almost certain I'm turning into Lewis Black.
I know.
I'm almost certain that Audi Karen is going to take the left turn. And she is going to take the left turn into the parking lot where the Starbucks is. Now, this is when my time crunch is going. This is where I'm saying, if this is minutes. If I get the right minutes, I'm in that line with maybe 2, maybe 3 cars in front of me.
Right.
It's pure bliss. Mm-hmm. You're in the efficient machine. We have the efficient machine at the school, and we have the efficient machine at Starbucks, which I've become addicted to now that I drink coffee again. And of course, Audi Karen decides she's going to take that left-hand turn with a green light that has an advanced green, and then it's a yield with a regular green, and Audi Karen is sitting there when there are no cars coming! No cars whatsoever coming, Audi Karen!
Ruh-roh.
Excuse me. And then Audi Karen, I'm sorry, we're going to get our guest done.
Of course.
Audi Karen finally meanders across, and of course, I get the light. I would have run the red. I'm on Audi Karen's ass at this point, so I know where she's going. And then I get into the line behind her.
At Starbucks?
Audi Karen is a Starbucks food eater.
Oh!
Everybody, you know what I'm talking about. You're not coming in just to get your cat. Because Audi Karen, I finally see her in the side view mirror. She doesn't need to get any food at Starbucks, if you know what I mean.
Hey, I feel you, baby.
And Audi Karen is ordering. I hear, because I'm directly behind her, I hear her order. She orders some latte frap crap, and then she orders a breakfast sandwich and a cake pop!
I don't like cake pop people.
Now, Starbucks is an efficient machine. I do believe, and people that go through the drive-thru every morning will probably back me up here, that when you throw the food element in, it just causes a little bit of a delay.
Of course.
It's pre-prepared.
It's pre-prepared in the microphone, but it's just long enough to add a little.
Yeah,
it's not pouring water into a cup, Oscar. That's
I'm playing bagel guy. I know.
I get it. And so she goes in, and then she gets into, and it's lingering, and then there's a little extra request.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
and you see the little bejeweled hands coming out the window.
Please.
You know what? You know where she is indefensible. Where she is guilty on all counts is the pre 8 a.m. cake pop.
Yeah. And she ain't getting it for a kid.
No.
Because your kid, I saw her drop her kid off at school. She's not getting it. She's getting it for her ass.
There is no defense for a cake pop that early.
Right.
I would be hypocritical. I don't think it's right what happened at school. But when you're in the drive-thru, who are we to say what you can or cannot get?
I agree. But now, I have a history with Audi Karen.
Okay.
I have a history with it. All right.
The
so
whole
it's just
morning.
Minor. By the way, I'm fully. What did I write down here? I have to write. It's fun to be intolerant. It saves me.
Yes.
I'm enjoying. I'm thoroughly enjoying. I'm enjoying this. Talking about Audi Karen because it makes me feel better. I don't know who she is. Don't know where she is. Might be a saint. Yeah. Might be going to a shelter to protect people. I don't know what the hell she's doing.
She's not a
but
saint.
Audi Karen decides she's going to do this. And then Audi Karen, this slows the line down. Just enough for me to be a little bit. And I do the same thing I get. I get a low-fat latte and a black coffee for my spouse, who is going off right now to slay the dragon. And my routine, she walks the dog now. I take the kid to school. That's our little balance. Everything's right with the world. Audi Karen slows it up a little bit. But then I see her leave the Starbucks, and she takes a right. I'm like, okay, that's good. I won't be because I take a left to get out of the Starbucks.
Finally,
I won't see her again. So I get my coffee. I kick it a little bit, maybe a little faster than you should go in a parking lot. There wasn't anybody walking out between cars. They would have been killed. And I'm flying out of the parking lot. And guess who, by the time I get out of the parking lot, who was in front of me is now roaring down past me.
I'm guessing it's Audi Karen.
It's Audi f-ing Karen.
Maybe sugar high?
I don't know what she must have maybe had a few bites of her breakfast sandwich
let's
to go.
Get it going.
And she's behind me. And then finally, at the very last, she pulls off to the right and goes to her. And I probably passed her at 70 miles an hour on a 45 mile an hour road just to get past her. And then I hit the light and there she is turning left too.
Mm.
And then at the very last turn, there's no more. She's going down, by the church. Probably to pray to be a better human being.
She's praying for a chocolate croissant and a cake
that's
pop.
It. Who knows what she's praying
what
for?
What kind
let's
of
bring our,
Audi?
What car, guys? Not a late
SUV?
Model. Not a late SUV. Little mini SUV.
Oh, crossover.
Like everybody drives down here.
Sure.
Yeah, she's fine.
Q5.
Love her to death. Let's bring in our talking head, shall we?
Let's do.
Sorry to be so upset before we brought them
get
in.
Get off your chest.
This is now I'm going to be ready for a nice experience because that's what we do. Dan Ware lives in Albuquerque, and there he is, and has been listening since 1996 and has been on the podcast train since day one. He is married to Rhonda, has a daughter, Alex, 24. I have a daughter, 24, and a son, Danny Jr., 21. one. Danny is about to enter the police academy. I love that. He is a communication specialist at Sandia National Labs. Did I get that right, Dan? Is that correct? Very good. They make bombs, Rob wrote.
They do.
Or maybe you did. Do you have one that's small enough for? No, I wouldn't wish that.
The size of a cake pop.
He attended both of our Vegas shows and was there for Oscar's infamous pancake incident.
Thank you, sir.
That was a post-show event, if I remember correctly. In the past, he has worked in radio, TV, and has helped fight wildfires. That's cool. He is heavily involved in local theater and met his wife during a production of Death Trap. TMOS influenced his performance in a show called Dinner with the Boys. His favorite impressions are Wayne Newton and
James Gandolfini.
His favorite part of the show is when we give a look into our real lives. Well, I'm glad I was able to share that with you at the beginning, Audi Karen. God.
Can I get the extra rib there?
And you can hear her. I can hear the lady going, that's a cake pop with a prop and a breakfast sandwich. But I hear her going, I'm sorry, Dan. This is your segment. Let's see. He has a marriage rooted in TMOS lore. Intrigued? You should be. Now here is Dan Ware. Dan, I know your name. How are you? It's good to see you out there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I really am fascinated by that part of the country. I've always thought New Mexico might be a pretty cool place to lay down roots. What did you say?
Sell meth
and buy cake pops.
Well, it's beyond Walter White. I actually just really think
science.
Of
science.
Are you a lifelong New Mexicoan?
For the most part, I moved here in '81 when I was 11 from Nebraska. So yeah, I'm pretty much native here by now. And funny you should mention Walter White. My wife actually had a couple of background roles in Better Call Saul. So
oh, cool!
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just think of New Mexico as just a cool place to live. Do you love living in New Mexico?
I really do. And you know, most people, you think New Mexico, oh, it's a desert. Well, we've got everything. We've got desert. We've got high desert. We've got alpine mountains. Great skiing. You can ski in the morning and golf in the afternoon here in Albuquerque. That's really one of the best parts about being here. I've really not left New Mexico for any extended periods of time since I've been here. It's just a wonderful place.
That's cool. I would love to get there at some point because I think that it's fascinating me. I say that not because I'm maybe thinking about getting out of Florida. That's never crossed my mind.
Well, come in October when we have our International Balloon Fiesta. We'll have hundreds of balloons. It's a week-long thing. Hundreds of balloons, tens of thousands of people. Of course, wear a mask. Ha ha.
Are they hot air balloons or just like party balloons?
No, it's hot air balloon.
Okay. That's Rob's. Yes. That's what Rob does that in Leesburg. Rob has Balloon Fest.
Well, we have a party city. It's great.
Everybody goes to their different party city and brings them along. So let me ask first of all about your, you are now doing the work at this national lab. That is a defense contractor, I take it?
Right. It's a national lab, and I work in what's called the Environment Safety and Health program. I'm in mostly internal communications, a little bit of external, but I write articles, create video presentations. It's not horribly exciting to the layperson outside, but it's important work. And I mean, Sandia, yes, was started as part of the national defense, but now it's, of course, they do a lot of work on renewable energies, solar, wind, that sort of thing. All kinds of research, medical, just so many scientific breakthroughs that affect so many aspects of life. It's really an amazing place to work with amazing people.
And you have a son, Danny, who's 21, about to enter the police academy. And the reason I want to ask you about Danny is because everybody knows that if you have a son, that there is a phase that these kids go through where they want to get involved in the police. They want to be in the military. They want to do that. Has Danny always had, I asked this for my 8-year-old, has Danny always had an interest in that? Because it's fascinating to me.
You know, it's interesting. For a lot of years, Danny was kind of aimless. He just doesn't know what he wanted to do. He knew he wanted to do something that would help others. For a while there, he thought about medicine or, you know, some sort of public service. But really has just decided that he wants to serve this way and help protect the public. And I can't say enough. He's a wonderful kid. He's an amazing soccer player. You know, he's done really well with that. And he never really wanted to go to college because school wasn't his thing. But, you know, now it looks like he's got some direction, and I'm so proud of him and my daughter as well, who's a social worker in Denver.
Oh, that's wow. Awesome.
You know, that's interesting when you to talk about this, and I didn't, you know, I never know what direction we're going to go when we're talking to it, whatever. But when you're talking about a kid that's right out of school that is going to enter this profession, I kind of think I'd probably be proud too. That would be up there with you know, with a kid going into the military to serve or going into medicine, as you mentioned before. That type of, you know, my kid's going to be doing something special. With that said, with all the stuff that goes on around this country and with, you know, a certain group of people, you know, getting behind the police and indicating that people might disagree with them politically are against the police. I couldn't think it's more wrong. I think we all, by and large, as Americans, appreciate the majority of police officers that are out there putting their asses on the line. Do you, with all this divisiveness in the world and all this tension and everything, do you have some butterflies about the idea of him going into a, you know, what is really now sort of a controversial profession?
If I have to be 100% honest, I do. I worry about him because, you know, he's such a good kid with such a great temperament. You know, I wish he'd be a firefighter, but he wants to be a police officer, and whatever he chooses to do in his life, I'm going to be proud of him and I'll support him 100%.
Yeah. Well, Danny, we wish you, Danny, we wish you the best of luck. Yes, Oscar.
May I add that if your son is choosing this profession, as Mike said, right now with the current landscape, we need more people like your son.
Right thinking. Yeah.
Deciding to step into the fray and wanting to make a change. So please thank him from us.
And I think that also reflects good parenting, too. Yeah.
You know, I don't know when it became divisive where, you know, people that are you see a lot of the Blue Lives Matter flag down here. And it usually, I hate to say this, but goes hand in hand with some other flags that I've seen. And I don't think there's any particular political party or belief system that should own support for law enforcement. I think that we have known, I have personal friends in that profession probably more than any other profession. And it's sad for me. It's sad on both sides. Sad for everything where we are right now. But they should be, when you really think about what cops go through every day, I agree with Oscar 100% that they're diving in that. Now, I'm moving on to your personal life, Dan Ware. I want to ask you about TMOS influenced your performance in a show called Dinner with the Boys. I am not familiar with this particular playlet. I don't know what it is, but tell us about that.
So Dinner with the Boys is a kind of a spoof, a parody of the mob genre, written by Dan Loria, who was the dad on the original Wonder Years show. And it's just a small cast. There's only four. And I play an aging mobster named Dom. It was written for Dom DeLuise, who unfortunately passed away before he could perform in the role.
Well, that's too bad.
There's a conversation that goes on between Dom and the other main character. And they're talking about their favorite one of their favorite restaurants that makes shrimp balls. And of course, one of my favorite things that you all do is through the fat guy voice. And so there's a line where they talk about the shrimp balls, and I go, and so I brought a little of the TMOS vibe. Oh, I love their balls. it always got a good laugh, and so it was a lot of fun. And that was the first play that we'd done coming back out of the pandemic. My wife directed it, and I got the privilege of starring in it with some great castmates, and it was so nice to be back on stage.
Why do you think there are so many people that listen to this show? We've had so many people that are involved in their own kind of performance. Yeah. And, you know, we get people that are listeners to the show that, like, do our promos. And there's so many people that are performers. I don't know if that's every show. I just know our group is a pretty nice little family. And we have a lot of people that are performers that dig what we do. Why do you think that is? I'm not fishing. I'm just curious about that. Why we have so many people that are in the theater that like our show.
You know, I think it's just because we can relate. We can relate to this show. And one of the reasons, and I was telling Rob this, one of the reasons I relate to this show is because you give us a slice of your life. And it's one of the things I've always appreciated the most about TMOS, especially as a podcast, is the audio quality and the desire to bring the best quality forth. And I think that really attracts audiophiles like myself or folks that have been in theater. We relate, you know. My wife and I also, and I, Rob, I forgot to tell you a couple of things because I was nervous yesterday, but my wife and I also
love you too.
Yeah.
I've always been pleased with the audio levels that we keep everything in balance.
And the other thing is,
okay, now you don't do it. Why do you do one after I do one?
Because it's
greedy.
Fun. It's fun.
All right, go ahead. What was he talking to you about? I'm sorry, I was thinking about.
So my wife and I also do we have a weekly radio show on our public radio station here where we present theater programs, audio dramas and such. And so,
you lay them out there. You'll have a clip from Fiddler on the Roof or something like that. Is that how do you do it?
Yeah, well, it's an hour long, and we bring in pre-produced radio dramas, and we host the show. And
cool.
Once the pandemic is over, we're going to have people come into the studio and record, actually do our own adaptations.
Like radio plays, like in Days of
fun.
Old.
Like,
how much fun.
I see the cannons roll.
That's right.
You are spot on the era where that would have happened, where they had like, Orson Welles and the War of the Worlds and stuff like that. That sounds
amazing.
A lot. You'll be doing your own after you're playing. What's the, what's something that stands out in your mind? Do you have a particular radio play that you said, this is, I'm riveted to this, that you like? Because it's really like Turner Classic Movies for radio, right? Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. And I'd love to do some of those old style radio shows where we won't have a Foley artist per se, because, well, it's just hard to do. But, bringing in and putting in the sound effects and the music. We did an adaptation of Dracula last year and A Christmas Carol. And that was just amazing. It was so much fun. And my wife did a lot of she did the acting, but also did a lot of the production on A Christmas Carol. And so it was just... it was so much fun, and we love doing radio. And just,
why don't you shake it up and do just inappropriate sound effects for the like classic radio theater? Like, you know,
it's
the
public
Scrooge,
radio.
Probably not. Scrooge would be like that. Molly, why are you visiting me at this hour? What is wrong? You've scared the crap out of me. I don't know. That was just.
You need? This is exciting. If you're going to do that, you need to build one of those little doors. So you can have the door sound effect, but it's like a perfect one-third replica of a door to keep in the studio with you.
That sounds so very...
What's shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Coconuts. Give it a plug. What's your NPR in Albuquerque show that does that?
It's called Radio Theater, shocker, and it's on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. on KUNM.org, or if you're local here in Albuquerque, it's 89.9 FM. But again, yeah, 6 o'clock. Sometimes the plays are so long, it's like, hi, welcome to Radio Theater, here's the play, we'll be back. But sometimes we get to actually...
That is really cool. Yeah. I'd love to get that into a podcast situation. Yeah. That sounds neat. Always thinking.
Actually a lot of them out there, believe it or not.
Have you thought of doing Caligula?
I'll work on the sound design.
Thank you.
We're going to need bottles of wine.
This soldier's had too much wine. Yes, fill up his belly. All right, so moving on, before we get you out of here, I want to make sure I'm covering everything. TMOS has also, you have a marriage rooted in TMOS lore. I have to hear about that before we let you go.
Sure. Long story short, hopefully, my wife and I met through theater, got together. And this is just a few years ago. And we moved in together, and she got familiar with the show because, of course, I was always talking about it. And I said, hey, they're going to be in Vegas. Let's go to Vegas. We haven't really done any trips. Okay, great. Let's go to Vegas. And then, hey, why don't we get married in Vegas during the show? And she was like, okay. And we got a hold of Alan Gygax, a Vegas resident, and he became our officiant. We got to Vegas and we had a little chapel near the hotel.
You were the wedding.
A bunch of folks, some of our best friends that we'd never met, came and attended. And it was Dirk was the best man. Or I'm not the best man, the father of the bride. And
That's amazing.
His job to give away the bride. Were you afraid that Dirk might keep the bride?
A little bit. I kept close tabs on them.
Good.
Right.
And we call him Papa Dirk now. But he was very gracious. It was so wonderful to have so many folks show up, and too many to name, but it was just a wonderful time. And then to share that with everybody and then go see the shows and hang out and just have so much fun. It means the world to us, Rhonda and myself. And I'd be remiss because I forgot to also to mention to Rob yesterday that I also have a stepson, Ashton, Rhonda's son, who is getting a PhD in immunology
up
in Colorado. So, it was wonderful to be there. And Rhonda thought I was nuts. We're going to see all these people that you know online.
Wow. That's what it's turned into.
Testament.
I mean, yeah, we do a live show, but really what it is a weekend for people to get together. And we're hoping that we can do it in the spring, that we're going to be able to get out and enjoy ourselves together again. And, I don't predict anything, but I mean, it's sure, we have to wait for the Omicron and find out what the hell that is.
I'm confident we'll get there.
I think we're going to be there. And I think it also is going to coincide with a wedding anniversary that's very exciting. For me, my 30th with my bride Rob.
There has been laughter. Yeah. But it's nice. 30 years on April 3rd.
I immediately went down the comedy highway and was thinking to myself, boy, so we could go and get a chapel, but then it would be we'd get in trouble. We'd get in trouble if we were to renew our vows, because it would just be not. It would be people would think that we were mocking the community. Right?
Dress was Sam Opie and Anthony style? You guys are just gonna go do your thing.
And what if my dress was really pretty?
Yeah, something lace.
God. You have your nerve wearing white.
Or chiffon.
I'm getting an Amy Winehouse vibe right now. Oh, my
God. It's a good idea, God.
Isn't it?
That could be a video presentation at our live show.
Yeah.
Where we really don't open the wedding up to the public. We bring the public in to see our wedding video.
Exactly. And the pictures.
And Dirk can walk you down the aisle.
No, he can't.
No, we don't bring Dirk in. Dirk gets plenty of attention.
Okay. Pony will carry my train.
Dirk, can you tell Dirk threatens me? He does. He threatens me. Hi, Carla. Watch out. Very nervous about Dirk. I mean, watch out for that man, all right? Don't turn your back on Dirk.
I'll be the father of the bride.
I'd love to. Before we let you go, that's very cool, and I love it. I love that we are a part of something that's much bigger, and I never would have dreamed that. And it makes me, in a way, it relaxes me, takes pressure off me, if that makes any sense, that everybody's out there making their own relationships and fun with this, and that enhances it, and then we kind of reap the benefits of that. It's delightful. Anybody you want to say hello to before we let you go, Mr. Dan Ware?
The list is, I took Rob's advice and wrote it all down.
Look at that list. Oh, my God. Do you have background music for him, Rob, for his list?
Yeah, I can do
that. He needs list music so he can give it. Go ahead. Rob will catch up. You go ahead and lay the list on us, Dan.
Well, this is not complete, of course, but.
Horror movie music. That's terrific.
How dare you?
Way to go, Fred.
I want to say I love you to my wife, Rhonda, who will listen to this later after she's back from work.
Yes.
And my kids, Alex, Danny, and Ashton. Dirk, Mark and Janice Soto, Lena, Kaz, Shebe, Robin, Jolene, Jeff and Gina, Alan, Ben Neff, Jason, sort of Jason, Kristen, Shannon, Megan, Robert Wood, Jim Amato, Twitch, Melissa, just everybody. And it's been so nice to have all these Zoom meetings. I know this isn't a complete list, but I love you guys, and Rhonda does too. Thank you so much for being a part of our lives, and It just, it means a lot.
Oh, that's Wani Gilover-Klempt. I love that. We love you, Dan. Thank you very much. God bless you. Oh, my God. Thank you. Talk amongst yourselves. I do that, too. I can relate. Very cool. Hopefully, we'll see you in April. We're very excited about that. To everybody at TMOS, that means the world to me. Thank you. That's invigorating to me to see somebody that's into us that much and into the whole experience. We'll take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's a little homepage action for you right here. On the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa.
Hello, fans. Welcome to ESPN College Game Day. We're coming to you today from beautiful Morgantown, West Virginia, for what should be an excellent matchup between the WVU Mountaineers and the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. I'm Mark Riddell, and I'm joined in the broadcast booth by my partner in college football excellence, calling the X's and O's, as always, Carrie Spiewak.
I wanted to say boys and guys, and I said them at the same time.
Mountaineers with the ball. They take it up the gut for a gain of 5 yards.
I get it. Good night.
Yeah, you are so right. That's why I love working with you. You're the best in the business.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm a woman. I make babies.
You're right, Gary. I should mention our sponsor. Game Day is brought to you today by the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Shop Target and Walmart through the link at MikeO'MaraShow.com for all your Game Day tailgating needs. For Gary Spiewak and myself, thanks for tuning in.
I'm so bad.
There you are, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Not really her, though, right?
No.
That was not an actuality. This portion of the program brought to you by Aura. I have to tell you something. I have been involved with Aura since they came on the air with us, and I love them. The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but sadly, security tools haven't caught up. They've stayed the same. Aura, A-U-R-A, they provide complete digital security to help protect your online accounts, finances, and devices, and more. All-in-one, easy-to-use app. Aura provides digital security protection to keep you safe from online threats. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. With Aura, you'll get alerted to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or your passwords were leaked online, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds. Aura helps you keep in control and guides you through solving any issues. I love it. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners up to 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/TMOS. Go to aura.com/TMOS to get complete protection and savings up to 40%. That's aura.com/TMOS. And thank you to everybody at Aura.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and we're happy to have you with us, everybody. Thanks again to Dan Ware. That was very sweet at the end of that interview. Michael J. Fox was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease 30 years ago, and you won't find a more optimistic guy. And why is that? Gratitude. He says, quote, I started to notice things I was grateful for and the way other people would respond to difficulty with gratitude. I concluded that gratitude makes optimism sustainable. I love this quote. If you don't think you have anything to be grateful for, keep looking, because you just don't receive optimism. You can't wait for things to be great and then be grateful for that. You've got to behave in a way that promotes that. I believe that, man. I really do. When I'm not talking about Audi Karen. Fox admits that he has access to resources that others don't, so he can't compare his experience to that of, quote, a working guy who gets Parkinson's and has to quit his job and find a new way to live. So he's humble, too. And it's amazing that 30 years ago, he was diagnosed with that, and he's moved on. And I think he's kind of a poster guy for living with this this condition. He's done really well.
I admire him a lot.
To really put his voice and, frankly, his money, his own investments into this research.
Absolutely. There is a Secret Service agent that is on President Joe Biden's protection detail that is catching many starry-eyed looky-loos.
Oh, I've seen this hunk.
In thirst traps. I did, too. I saw video and stills of this guy. He's a hot new agent on the scene who's getting social media attention and being compared to Tom Cruise in Top Gun. He's got the Ray-Bans. He's got the swagger. Yeah. This happened, I think, when Biden's were celebrating celebrating Thanksgiving, and he kind of had the casual sweater with the big overcoat on and had a look.
It's a cross between Keanu Reeves, not that I studied him,
okay, of course
but
not.
But a cross between Keanu Reeves and Tom Cruise.
This guy, Matthew Notarangelo, wrote, "Forget about the president. The Secret Service be looking fine." And now Biden's baddies is how they're referring to the Secret Service. That's from one titillated commenter.
He is a good-looking guy.
I haven't seen an ugly Secret Service agent in my life, though.
Really? There's some. I think there's some.
There's no roly polies. You gotta be. You gotta. You have to be like. You have to be in shape.
I have
and
no
somewhat
idea.
Put together no, to all protect
of,
the
all
president.
Of Harry Truman's Secret Service guys had eczema. That's a fact.
Harry Truman. Hey, new casting has been announced for the upcoming Live in Front of a Studio Audience special. And this is, I'm into this. This looks good. Jennifer Aniston will play the snooty rich girl Blair Warner in The Facts of Life.
Oh, boy!
Gabrielle Union will play Tootie. Great. Catherine Hahn will play a tough chick Joe. And Alison Tolman, does anybody know her? She's not the most recognizable. She'll play Natalie. Yes, there are all adult women playing teenagers, but that's what they're doing in Different Strokes episodes, too, with Kevin Hart as Arnold and Damon Wayans as Willis.
And don't forget, your cousin is going to play Mrs. Garrett in both shows.
Ann Dowd will play Mrs. Garrett on both episodes. The show airs Sunday night on ABC. Will I be... I'm really not sure if I'll be back in time to watch that Sunday night after I come back from Miami with my son.
Oh.
Going to the Dolphins game! First NFL game, very excited. Oh my God.
That's fun.
Hey, if you want to get a reasonably priced ticket for an NFL game, check out a sucky team like the Dolphins. You'd be very surprised. It's, you know, the rest of the NFL, I couldn't go to a game in New York. It's crazy. But this is going to be very exciting. And it's a 1 o'clock game in Miami on Sunday.
Who are they playing?
And they're playing, who do you think they're playing?
Who?
The Dolphins are playing
the Washington football team?
No. No. Think more close to home.
The Giants? No.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
they are. For you.
Yeah. And I got the tickets, and then I went to the New York Post, and I read. Yeah, it's all for me. And then I got the tickets, and I went to the New York Post, and I saw that Daniel Jones is going to be out for the game because he's the suckiest quarterback in the world. Got he it. Has a neck strain.
Mike, you know what's happened? Is you've been targeted the way they used to sell tickets to the Wizards when they would say, "Do you want to see the Cavaliers? Then buy a Wizard." Wizards ticket.
Here's the club drop.
And they didn't even market me. I just, because you can't find out if that game's going.
What is,
you know.
What is his level of excitement? Because you're the NFL fan.
Right.
Out of his mind.
He is?
Out of his mind. Yeah. Yeah. He's got flag football on Friday night with his friends. So, I mean, it's going to be super, super cool. And, you know, this is a moment. I'm just, you know, trying to create moments.
And you know what? That's a great
I'm not going to be around forever.
That's a great stadium. That's a great stadium. It's a good place to see a ball game.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. It's the most wonderful time of the year unless you hate Christmas music. A psychologist in Pennsylvania broke down the reason why holiday music can be stress-inducing. Stress-inducing. This is funny. The main reason is if the songs serve as a reminder of a bad memory or experience. Yeah, I would imagine that would suck, especially from childhood. It can also be mentally draining, especially when it's played nonstop. I'm plugging another show that I don't listen to, but when I'm in the car with my wife, as I was yesterday evening, when we were taking my son out to get his second vaccination, John Tesh Intelligence for Your Life was on the radio.
Oh, good.
That's what she listens to. Yeah.
Maybe it's
soothing. Brutal is the word, you know. It reminds you, if you hate Christmas music, of everything that's stressful about the holidays. From the psychologist's perspective, it's best to uncover the root of the stress. But when it does come on, maybe play your own music on a pair of headphones. And, of course, avoid it in your own car. So that's, you know.
Do you think this is why Lou Katz is so miserable?
I just think I'm on the fence with Christmas music, but if you're really stressed out, you know, that's wonderful. So when you want to do that, what would I play to balance that?
Yeah, something else.
All right, so start it again, and I'll say it. So it would sound something like this when you hear that in the car. Here we go. Listen to this.
Hold on. I'm sorry about that.
Funny. It's go time.
I love it, dude. That only took us like 8 minutes to put that together. That was really, really good. That was really, really on it. Boy, you and I with our masterful, fat, obese fingers flying over keyboards here. Absolutely spectacular board work on both the Florida side and the D.C. side. Let's move on, shall we? I think it's time.
Do you have dogs singing Black Betty, though?
No, I don't. In a new poll, people were asked what gifts you can always fall back on, and chocolate was the number one answer. So if you are up against the wall, not knowing what to buy someone, get them candy. I don't know.
And this is big chocolate.
I don't know
chocolate.
If I go along with
big
it.
Chocolate.
Is this big chocolate?
Gotta be.
Yeah. Get them a fruitcake.
Yeah, exactly.
Holiday gift baskets are second, followed by gift cards, clothing, accessories. Oh, bite me. It is. It's all. We're all being manipulated. Yeah. It's a mind F.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what we deal with. All right. Now we have some real news coming
Thank
out of
you.
California. Marilyn Manson's home was crawling with detectives from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, and it's related to his ongoing sexual assault investigation. Special Victims Unit detectives went to the shock rocker's home in West Hollywood early Monday morning, executing a search warrant. Marilyn was not home at the time, and law enforcement forced entry with a warrant in hand. Sources say the search warrant is in connection to ongoing probes into sexual assault allegations against Marilyn, and police, according to TMZ, seized media storage units, including hard drives, which will be reviewed before the case is submitted to the LA County District Attorney. Manson is accused of locking women in a soundproof room in the home, something he allegedly did to punish them. He has denied the allegations, and sources connected to his legal team say they are cooperating with the investigation. So, seizing hard drives.
It's like that one show from Netflix, You, Y-O-U.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy down
in
the Yeah, with that ceramic box that he keeps down in the basement. I haven't gotten into this season of You nearly as much, but I've got a... Did I mention... I mentioned Alone yesterday,
yes.
Right?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, man, I can't wait to dive back into that one. And a pretty good Halle Berry movie out there right now, too. I think it's called Bruised, and she is... amazing. I am a Halle lover from way back. And now a little something for you. Passengers, get ready for this, gentlemen. It's a three-joke kicker today.
Love it.
Are you ready?
Yeah, hat trick.
You don't come across these very often. Passengers on board a flight to Atlanta were left dumbstruck when a woman started to breastfeed her cat.
Oh, no.
Just going to let that sit there for a second. The incident reportedly occurred on Delta Flight 1360 to Atlanta. Flight attendants requested that the woman stop doing what she was doing and put the cat back in its carrier, but she refused. The pilot requested that the Delta Red Coat ground team contact the woman when they landed. That's it. There's no word about any other authorities.
Wow.
There's no word about any consequences. Nothing on what happened once the plane landed. No charges. The woman, by the way, is still being held at the airport, and Delta employees were...
Come on now. Keep it together.
Delta employees were letting her... I'm losing my light here. Chase a laser pointer. Delta employees were letting her chase a laser... Come on, Michael! Be a professional! The woman is being held still at the airport, and Delta employees are letting her chase a laser pointer light across the office floor. Finally. On a related note, Joel Rogers still can't cough up his hairball from his recent trip to Amsterdam. The woman reportedly refused hot towels on the flight, telling one of the flight attendants that she could take care of everything with her tongue. I'm sorry. You know what, kids? Be a professional.
Yeah.
Read the jokes as they are written. You wrote them. Read them as normal.
Gives a new meaning to sweater kittens.
It does.
Sweater kittens.
It does. Meow.
That's good. That's five. No, four.
Four.
That's four jokes. One
Poison.
Story there.
Poison.
We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Romeo and Juliet. Antony and Cleopatra. Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories, Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You'll love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
We had a live performance of that over the Thanksgiving weekend. I've been really slacking when it comes to the dishes, so Carla's been doing a lot of them. And I got it for, I forgot which daughter, whether it was Elizabeth or Catherine, as we were doing the O'Mara thing, lounging on the couch where all the people were working. We're sitting there, and Carla was doing dishes angry. It was fantastic. No, you know what? Everybody pitched in. And for both my daughters and their beaux, I want to say thank you. Everybody really did their part. It was a wonderful weekend.
Mike, I want to thank you for hosting.
Thank you, Rob.
When she does the dishes aggressively, do they get cleaner because there's more effort, or how does it?
It's not just dishes; it's putting them away and everything. When you hear clang, 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 clang. Hey, when it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure to label foods good or bad. That just creates dilemmas. Noom will change how we see food with a psychology-based approach that looks not only at what you eat but also how you eat it. Instead of making you feel guilt or regret, Noom empowers you to keep going. Everybody's journey is different, so Noom customizes a program for you based on your personal goals. Noom only asks for, and I'm not kidding, remember this part. This is the most important thing. If you're like, I don't want to dive into a hole. Noom only asks for 10 minutes of your day.
10 minutes
of your day to teach you about your eating habits and check in on your progress. You don't need rules to lose weight, just the knowledge and wisdom to empower you to build smarter, more sustainable habits. Noom's approach helps you better understand your relationship with food, how to be more mindful of your habits, and gives you the knowledge and support you need for a long-lasting change. Oscar loves Noom. Carla loves it, too. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS. And we thank you. We like Noom. We also like our listeners. And I just want to say to Dan Ware, that was really, really cool that he was able to do that. And I am very curious from something that was said on the show when we were doing our little pre-show meeting about gaming consoles, since I'm looking into maybe a flight simulator type thing for Michael, and Oscar was talking about that's how they get you. What is going on with gaming consoles that might be? Now, you're just basing this on your own gut feeling, right?
No. For 4 months now, I've been hunting down a PS5. Which is PlayStation 5 for you rubes out there.
I have an extra one. You should have asked me.
What?
I'm kidding. I don't have a gaming console.
What the hell's going on?
Baby. I love it.
They're not cheap. I was going to go in with my sister. My brother and his wife and my wife and my parents and get little Luca, or now 16-year-old Luca, a PS5 that was supposed to be roughly $500, right? Big present.
God, do they just tack on another 100 every year? Is that what they do with these gaming consoles?
They're getting more sophisticated.
Right.
The games are free. Am I right?
I would have dreamt for $550. Would have dreamt for that.
Right.
There is some sort of resolution to this, but I would go online. I'd say, oh my God, Target's going to get these. Like, we're all in Boston and here looking for when the next shipment was going to go in. My brother actually went and stood in line and tried to find one for my nephew. And the only way you could get them outside of, luck being somewhat lucky,
right,
was to spend $1,100 on the black market.
And aftermarket.
Aftermarket.
Black market sounds sexier, though.
Aftermarket.
But it's just gone. I mean, so you think it's a scam, right?
Well, because that they haven't just, had them
that they're
all
withholding
year.
Supply to create
this
urgency.
This is not this a urgency. Supply chain issue. Supply chain issues exist, and they're real, with the graphics cards. But for a PSFN5 that's been out for some time, it didn't just come out, Mike. It's been out forever. mm-hmm. and they've had supply chain issues for a long time now. I finally get, we have a friend that wrote me, he says, I heard you were looking for PS5. He called me this weekend and said, don't buy one in the aftermarket, black market. Buy one, because I picked one up for you.
Uh-huh.
I got one, paying face value, good to go, done deal. But I sat here and said, just like the Tickle Me Elmos of the day, if you don't know somebody.
Yeah, you got to know a guy.
Then how the hell are, how is Santa supposed to come through for these kids?
I got a guy. Now, that's a great present for him too, by the way.
But here's the question. What does Nintendo benefit by holding
Nintendo,
back?
PlayStation.
Whatever it is.
Sony.
Well, how do they benefit from holding back? I understand the notion to create urgency, but if no one can get them except as a rule in the aftermarket, they're not benefiting.
I don't
benefiting.
Think he's right. I don't think it's a scam. I think it's shipping.
Yeah,
I think it's shipping. It's those containers that are sitting out there in the Pacific Ocean. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I don't think it's a scam, Oscar.
I've been looking for 4 months, Mike. 4 months.
Yeah, but
ships out in the harbor for 4 months.
They're out there and the sailors are all playing Super Mario Kart.
These guys.
You know, there's a question. So they anchor off the harbor, right?
Right.
38 ships as of yesterday.
Do those, obviously there has to be some sort of crew on the ship, but do you think they rotate guys out there?
Well, you get a skinny staff and everybody comes ashore.
Do you think that's what they do?
Yeah, the tenders back and forth. I'm sure they do tenders back and forth.
They get the Long Beach port lot lizards. You know,
I mean, do you really know that? I've never heard. They rotate the lot lizards out to the ships.
Honey, drop the ladder.
I'm here for your job. Anyway. No, but
talk
they
about
do.
Containers, Mike.
What was
that? They're all garbage cans.
They, you know, because I mean, say a ship's out there for 3 months, mm-hmm. and then you know they call, Captain, we're ready for it. It's like, you don't need to call me. I'm having a great time out here. I've lost my marbles.
I'll give you some further content. I talked to my sister about this because you can actually see the container ships from her home. Like on the water.
Did she tell your mom it was your fault that the shipping chain was broken?
No. She said no. One of them is a Chick-fil-A container ship. she said outside of the environmental impact because one of the pipelines for oil broke and just
a long time ago. Yeah. Right.
They're spilling fuel when they have to go out with the boats and fuel them out in the water because they still need fuel.
It's definitely the environmentalists out there are going crazy. I'm just kind of curious for the dudes that have to be on those boats.
They probably can get off and go on, you know.
I would hope so, but we don't know that for certain, do we? If they don't just come back over from Japan or China and they're just sitting there forever out there going crazy.
They don't call them longshoremen for, you know, nothing.
There you go. Thank you. On that note, we do have to take a break.
Very clever.
When we
boys.
Come back, you know what? We've given Rob Spiewak a spanking or two for lackadaisical parenting. I believe I'm going to get the same treatment in a moment when I tell you what's planned for today. Mm. And I'm really torn, to be honest with you. I'm not totally freaked, but you'll hear about it when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And now, tales of aviation history with TMOS P1 listener, Captain Joel Rogers.
Well, folks, from the flight deck, this is Captain Joel Rogers. On behalf of all 61 members of your Frankfurt-based flight crew, it's been a pleasure having the 36 of you on board our transatlantic flight today. We've begun our initial descent into the New York area where the weather is scattered clouds and isolated thunderstorms. As a reminder, instead of duty-free shopping on your arrival, why not visit the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center for all your in-flight needs. Target and Walmart have everything for your comfort and onboard snacking. Visit MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner to place an order. Because of the headwinds extending our flight time to 77 hours, the local time is 7:25 p.m. on May 6th, 1937. Let me be the first to welcome you to Manchester Township, New Jersey. We know you have a choice in rigid airship travel, and we thank you for flying the Hindenburg.
The last one.
So great.
We know you have a choice in rigid airship.
So good.
Oh, me like that. Anyway, hey, there's nothing like the feeling that we enjoyed this weekend when we had a wonderful cool front come through Florida, and we had our solo stove going and gathering around the fire with the whole familia. There is nothing like it. God, did we have a good time. Nice cool evening, a smokeless fire pit.
You posted a beautiful picture of it. It looked like
gorgeous.
A postcard.
That you know what? We love it. We truly. That wasn't that. That was another fire. This way. That was at another place. So I didn't post a picture of the solo stove. I want to be clear.
What about the one you posted where you're burning your hard drives in there?
That's well. That was you know. I'm sorry. I was concerned about that. Yeah, yeah, I was you know. Got to save things before the search warrant.
Leave no trails.
Anyway. All right, shut up, everybody. Solo Stove makes it even better. Instead of having to constantly dodge campfire fumes, you can sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire. Get great deals on a Solo Stove fire pit right now while the weather is perfect for it. Enjoy the mesmerizing flames and all the opportunities to create more good moments and lasting memories. Solo Stove fire pits are brilliantly engineered, made with premium-grade 304 stainless steel and a 360-degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing smoke. I love how it maximize efficiency. Unrewarding copy right there. Anyway, I love how it unpacks in seconds. That's easy to read. It's light and your fire is blazing in minutes. We all have them. We all love them. And it's perfectly portable. Take Solo Stove with you wherever you go. Get $10 off with promo code TMOS plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. That's $10 off at solostove.com. Promo code TMOS, and we thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Today, as I am informed, I'm not really totally engaged with this activity.
All right.
My son will be picked up at the school bus by Mrs. O'Mara. He will be taken to some local hair emporium where he will be getting blue hair. Mm. Or partially blue hair. Ooh. At 8.
Yeah, that's nice.
Now, as someone who has really put very few restrictions on their children, I'm going to let you weigh in first on this one. We've given you a lot of crap about, you know, he's 8. I control the narrative here. So does my wife. She is not bothered by this.
How did this come about? Did he ask for it? Did the wife suggest
this? This was a dialogue that took place primarily between my son and my wife.
Why would he, at age 8, desire blue hair? Is it a thing?
Because other kids have done this in his class.
Ah, I see.
It is a thing for these 8-year-olds.
Is he going to go entirely blue or just like
I don't know.
Like an ombre thing?
I don't. What do you mean an ombre thing?
Yeah, What's that? Like it's a...
Sort of fades in
like
and
a gradient.
Out. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because Robert went, but my kids didn't change their hair color.
I know that
they were much older.
I'm not feeling particularly freaked out about it.
Yeah.
I'm really not.
What was the back and forth with your wife?
I think I might have expressed a little bit, really? And I think she said something like, he's 8. And I'm like, all right. That's the way. That's really the gist of whatever. To be honest with you, I'm thinking about more of it now as the day comes than I was before. When he said, "Dad," in the last 2 or 3 days, it's been the thing that he's getting, and
this will make it so much.
This will make it a lot.
I don't say he gets what he wants all the time. Well, mostly
he will be.
I suppose
this is actually a good thing because this will make it easier to take for Mike when he gets his piercings.
Yeah.
You know his nose ring and all that.
Yeah,
so
belly button ring.
Well, Robert doesn't have a nose ring, does he?
No, Robert doesn't have any piercings. But
Prince Albert.
But didn't Robert dye his hair?
Yeah, Robert has...
Multiple times, constantly, Mr. Quiet.
So, settle down, man.
I said not when he's eight.
You find that one narrow thing about piercings that your son didn't do, and I'm curious about when you let your son his hair and do anything he wanted with his hair. He had a mullet, for God's sake. You don't think it's damaging, do you?
No, I don't think it's damaging. I'm just shocked that it's happening at such a young age. Robert, I think, was 15 when he did his first. His hair, I believe, was yellow, and then he also did a silver hair thing that actually looked pretty good, but it was too expensive to upkeep.
Mike, what are the guys at the club going to say? Like, it's your son.
Look at the O'Mara boy. Blue hair. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Must be that Manassas coming out in him.
Corporal Punishment over here is taking an interesting tact on this, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's going to he's shaming me through the guys he thinks. Well, you know, I don't care.
You should ask them. Be like, hey, your kids got blue hair? What's your
story? What am I going to ask a 70-year-old man whose kids are 50? What the deal is? I'm not going to do that. You know, I mean, it struck a nerve. Maybe you did. Maybe it was a nerve I didn't even know was exposed. Congratulations. Look at the joy. Look at the joy on his face right now. Isn't he happy with himself right now? Mike didn't even think about that part.
This is the best day for him because he made a joke at the end of the news.
Killing it. That was wonderful.
And now he's made you miserable.
It's all coming up Oscar.
I think that, look, I file this under fight your battles. Fight the battles that are worth it.
This is more of a wife issue
than it is a son issue. She doesn't think, and my wife, let me just tell you about this. This is a kid that never misses piano. This is a kid that has a virtual Spanish class 3 days a week and is not allowed to miss it. Ever. This is a kid that is brushing his teeth and flossing his teeth every night and morning at the exact same time, has a rigid bedtime that goes in there, does not play video games or play on his phone at all during the school week. It is confined to a weekend activity. All of these things go along, and with the blue hair, I'm like, I didn't feel like I wanted to make any kind.
How much costs the blue hair?
That I don't know either. And thank you. So both of you now have successfully.
Because when my kids were doing it, they were babysitting for a hairstylist. So their stuff was trade. Hair stuff is expensive stuff. And depending, I mean, if it's just like blue tips, it might not be so bad.
Explain what expensive. What is expensive?
We do it right.
Yeah, hundreds of dollars.
Like,
what do you mean hundreds of dollars?
$300 to
$400
for women.
Yeah.
What?
Easy. It's too late. I blew it.
So there's that.
And you mentioned all the structure. The reason why your son has that structure is because you're guiding him.
Exactly.
Why throw a crack into that foundation?
Mm-hmm.
He's 8.
Because I think that it is a form of personal expression.
He can speak, right? He writes.
Yeah, tell him to write a poem.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, Doesn't cost anything to write a poem. By the way, I'm gonna pull back the curtain on my kid just a little bit here. I don't mind doing this. Okay. He has had an issue with his class and his teacher from the beginning of the school year, to the point where we were concerned, but we were doing the tough love thing and said, you know, and then it over the holiday, it became something a little bit more where he was talking about it more than he should be. Carla had a client that came in who's the former principal of a local school here.
All right.
And she said, absolutely deal with it head on. Get a meeting. She actually said, put him into another classroom. And then she said, or you could really have a meeting and articulate it. He actually had a meeting with the school counselor and the principal, and will be meeting with his teacher today. He does not like the chaotic atmosphere in his classroom. There's a lot of yelling that goes on from the teacher, and he says the kids are out of control, and he says they're obnoxious. It's funny because the principal said, maybe you don't want to use that word. The principal called us back. We've had probably 3 or 4 conversations with that. They've been amazingly responsive, and his voice is being heard, which I think is a good thing. And then she said that, and she has been there at least a couple of decades. She's been there for a long time. She said at the end of the conversation with my, by the way, I should mention to you that in my time as principal here, he is the most articulate second grader I have ever come across.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's sweet.
Blue hair is really going to help that. Let me tell you.
Thanks. He's getting the blue hair. I'm going to let him have the blue hair. I'm curious to see what it's going to look like.
My mom had a great line in Spanish. I can't translate it. I don't really remember. I just remember it meant you can get blue hair when you have your own house.
Yeah.
Ancient Spanish proverb. Right.
Yes.
That's why, you know, that's why when I'm coming, you know, when I'm waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning going, my left arm feels a little odd. It's time to go live with T.O. Oscar. No, my wife will still be around. I'm going to see what happens. We're going to get him the blue hair.
And what
it's out of my hands. I don't have control over it.
That's what color hair is Carla going to get?
She's going to go with the bleach blonde. She's actually going to look like Lana Turner.
Nice.
Thought you'd like that comparison right
beautiful,
there.
Yeah.
It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. Me, I will just go with the flat comb down per Dirk. Not Dirk, for Trip Affleck, who said, just brush it down.
Yeah.
Because if you see there, you can see how thin it is right there.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, yeah. No, the age spots are showing today. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Woo!
It's a picture of Carla from Vegas or New Orleans.
Yeah, next to Dirk.
The thing about it is he's got that big Dirk energy.
Big Dirk energy, yes!
That was good.
The Mike O'Mara Show podcast is chock full of laughs and stories. Every episode improves your mood, lifts your spirits, and gives you more male vitality. But for maximum impact, you have to subscribe to the TMOS bonus show. Only then can you get
Big Dirk energy.
Get hard for your money back.
It's P1 Hall of Famer Dirk Vastrick. Big Dirk energy is a real thing. I've been listening for almost 12 years, and the TMOS bonus show always puts a smile on my face, a spring in my step, and let's just say there haven't been any complaints in the bedroom.
Ooh, yeah!
Subscribe to the TMOS bonus show today and get Big Dirk energy. Click the banner at MikeOmeraShow.com.
It's electric. Woogie, woogie, woogie.
I figured out if I do the show for another 80 years, everybody that listens will be put into the TMOS Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. The economic news is all about inflation. Inflation is at a 31-year high. Supply chains are slow. Gas prices up. Material costs are increasing. And the shelves are empty. Mortgage rates and inflation have an inverse relationship.
Uh-huh.
You understand that?
Yes.
Do they teach you that in your school? That means when inflation is up, rates are down.
Inverse relationship, mm-hmm. Oscar.
The Fed will absolutely need to raise rates to bring inflation back in check, and soon you need to call my good friend Mark Livingstone and the team at Cornerstone First Financial. You need to do it now before these rates go up, up, up. It's no longer about the COVID-19 low rates. It's the inflationary low rates, and the time to act is now. Whether a purchase or a refinance, the folks at Cornerstone First will walk you through the best program for you and your family while guaranteeing to meet or beat any other company. Call the only mortgage company I recommend, Cornerstone First Financial, serving the listeners of the Mike O'Mara podcast for over 6 years now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com.
Did you hear that?
Listen, what's that sound?
The big sound in the Big Ten.
The sound. Sound.
There's a new sound.
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 What a sound.
Sound.
Sound. That's the sound.
Sound.
Soundtown.
Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Do you remember yesterday when we had the reverse porch pirates? I had to be very careful.
Yes.
And they actually hid a gift so someone wouldn't have it stolen.
Sweet kids doing that.
The Ring doorbell captured that. That's a good thing for the Ring doorbell. However, this was going viral yesterday. How would you like it if you get a notification on your Ring doorbell and someone comes up and makes this request of you? You don't know this person. They just come up and ask...
You got $20 for a pack of cigarettes, huh? You got $20 for a pack of cigarettes?
No.
All right.
Oh.
$20 for a pack of cigarettes. Yeah.
Maybe that $20 should be spent on some other things. Just
when did
my opinion.
Cigarettes get so expensive?
Oh, they've been expensive for a long time.
It's not $20 for a pack, though,
is it? How much is it, Rob?
That's like, isn't it like $10 in a machine in a bar now?
Anybody know how much a pack of smokes is?
I thought it was like, Pony probably does.
Well, Pony, how much for a pack of smokes right now, do you think?
Last time I smoked, it was about $10 to $12, depending on where you go. In D.C., they're close
probably
to
like 15 bucks. Yeah,
16.
So she would need a 20.
Yeah, and you need all those quarters to put in the machine and pull the big plunger out.
I remember that.
Back
I
in
remember
the,
those days.
Chunk, chunk, thadump. Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome.
Man, when I was hooving, God, glad I don't smoke. That's great.
Well, that's why, Mike, you and I always say, hey, got a cigarette?
Yeah, I bum.
All right.
Boy, oh boy.
Speaking of borrowing, have you ever heard of a tool library?
No.
This is happening in Chicago, and it is so successful that they're actually expanding it.
I mean, it'd be a pretty target-rich environment at the Duke University Library. I bet there'd be a few tools in there. I mean, it's
not
just
that
my,
kind
you know,
of tool.
I went right there, you know.
Not
how
that
you
kind
doing?
Of tool.
I'm on the lacrosse team also. Okay, you
not,
know.
Not, tool. That, not that kind of tool.
No, different.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Check this out. They're actually expanding it because it's been so successful.
A tool library is a lot like a book library in the sense that it's a community space where people can borrow things. But instead of borrowing books, people are able to borrow sewing machines, hammers, drills, all sorts of equipment that
shop
they might
back.
Not own themselves.
Yeah.
We have woodworking tools. We have gardening tools. We have power tools. We have a lot of saws. A huge piece of the tool library movement is concerned with climate change. Thinking about, does everybody really need to own their own drill?
You know what? I love the idea.
This is great for the city.
Yeah, isn't it?
You got to store the tool. You got to keep it somewhere. Oh, man.
It's
I love
a marvelous
this.
Idea.
Do you love it?
I'm weird that way. I'm sorry.
You don't
there's
like
nothing
using
I'm
other
say.
People's equipment?
No, there's nothing I'm going to say
Some
right
dirty
now.
Dirty Dremel.
There's not. No, there's nothing I'm going to say right now that's not going to make me appear to be a monster.
No, no.
Okay. There's nothing I'm going to say where I'm going to come out on the other side and when it's just like
What's
sometimes.
Icky?
All right, here it is. I got to put it out there.
All
I'm
right,
just like
just
this is
it.
Like, oh, aren't we clever? We pulled everybody's tools and we put them in a library where you sign them out. And did Peter bring back his Dremel?
But what's wrong with that?
But I mean, I love having
it's
my
me.
Own tools. And you know, as you get older, you get a good collection of tools. I have almost everything I need.
Yeah,
but
imagine the money
I still
saved.
I still hate the fact that anytime I need something in the garage, I got to move my shop vac around. And for something I use maybe once or twice a year.
Let me calm down and let me tell you what's going on here. Okay, what I hate is the idea of my tools are... Shut up, Frankie! My tools are used spontaneously.
Yes.
All right.
Middle
I'm
of
not
night.
That much. This speaks to, but well, not be maybe. Maybe if I get a, you know, my tool. Like, how about the way I do the show when I came in and my wireless keyboard was sans battery.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And, and then what do I have? I didn't have to go to a library.
I don't think we're talking.
I
about
didn't get a library to get my screwdriver.
I don't think we're talking about probably major like
power tools.
A
bandsaw.
Jigsaw.
Yeah.
You know what? All right. You want to give? I'll give you one right here. Here's what I'd like in a tool drawer. I'd like a cherry picker. Because I got a palm tree out in front of the house, and I'd love to wrap it with Christmas lights.
Mike, you're going to need to leave two forms of ID
this
for a
mother effer, you are out of touch.
I am out of touch.
You need a cherry picker to put your Christmas lights up?
No, there is a giant palm. I have the largest palm on the street of my ticky-tackies.
Big is it?
It is so big, the palm frond. Forget it. I told you I couldn't come out as anything. It's just so planning, and you have to go to the tool library.
But, Mike, it's happening in Chicago, the Windy City.
If there's real need, how about just a place where people get free tools? How about giving tools away so people can make their own stuff?
I like
how
that
about
idea.
How about a tool dispensary that people donate tools
about,
that might be 80 years old, and they're not going to use
like
their jigsaw anymore?
And put it in that old cigarette machine with the plunger.
Right.
You pull it
hey,
out
speaking of Jigsaw, how about Jigsaw runs every tool directory? You know, it's just like,
you didn't return your power drill.
I left my card at home, Hello. Jigsaw.
Hello, Ryan. You didn't return your power drill.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm acting weird today.
Mike, it's that time of year, the end of the year, where they start putting out the list. Like, and Apple did the list of the songs that were most streamed on Apple Music
Love
all
it.
Year. And here we have the, I think these are the top three right here. Oh no.
Oh, you got me.
Here we go.
Hey, listener that was waiting for him to get me, he waited a day or two. He had these before, but he kept them. So let's bring in the cigarette-smoking, martini-drinking announcer. Here he comes.
Hi there. Christmas is coming.
Hello.
Have you done your shopping?
Yeah.
Only 24 days left.
He's an a**hole.
There he is. We're going to hear from him every day? Is that the way
no,
it's going to go?
No, not every day.
Okay.
Or all maybe right. every day.
I like
it. Yeah. You,
and maybe
you
I'll,
do it the...
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe I'll call you on the weekends.
I nothing would make me happy or not.
I'll call you on the weekends and I'll say, is Mike Excuse there? And me. Carl say, no, he's out renting a Dremel.
Yeah. Now I'm taking lava soap to my kid's hair.
No, actually, these are the most streamed songs on Apple Music. Dynamite.
Three?
BTS.
Is this three?
Number three, yeah. Number two, Driver's License, Olivia
Rodrigo. This is a hit. Guess you didn't mean
what you wrote in that song about me. And at number one, you said forever, now I drive alone past your street. Positions, Ariana Grande. Switching the positions for you. Cooking in the kitchen and I'm in the
another Pete Davidson body count.
He has a tool library.
Did you get one? Did you get one A?
I don't have one A. What is one A?
I got one A for you right now. Here we go.
Oh no.
You wanna dye your hair blue? You wanna dye your hair blue? You got a father too old to care, so you're gonna dye your hair blue, just like me when it was green, just like me when it was green. Dye your hair blue. Dye your hair blue.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There you are. Thank you.
Michael's son. Michael Eilish right there.
Michael Eilish, yes.
Yeah. Well, Mike, when he gets his hair dyed blue, make him take a picture where he looks real pouty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll look good.
I'll get right on that. Thank you very much.
All right, speaking of music, as we were, can you name this artist?
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down. Then she was merengue. And
I'll give him credit because it's a great song, and I like the song, so hearing him sing it is funny.
Across a crowded floor, they were from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other.
Mike,
it's Danny DeVito.
It's Dave Grohl.
That's Dave Grohl?
Yes. He did a mini album called The Hanukkah Sessions, and the video for Copacabana is him playing a bar mitzvah or a wedding, and he's got like a slick looking suit and a real cheesy band, and he's
got an interesting like way of speaking and singing, yeah. which is just a little weird.
It's a rock voice doing like a real melody, and it's a weird combination, but I thought it was catchy like that.
I like that.
All right, how about this? You ever worry that when you go into an Airbnb or a hotel, there's a camera on you?
Yes.
I've probably thought about it outside of being in the place, but yeah, I actually think about that a lot. I have a camera that sits outside of my house, but there's nothing inside. I think that's illegal, isn't it?
Oh, of course it's illegal. Yeah, it's illegal surveillance. But there is a way you can spot the cameras. This was on, I think this was on the gram, a guy offering some hacks about how you can spot hidden cameras.
First thing you're going to want to look for is devices that are conveniently placed where a creeper would want to look. Take this fire alarm, for instance. It's placed right above the bed. Now, one way to see if a device is a camera is to shine a bright light at it. If you hit a camera lens, it's going to give a bluish reflection. Now, this clock is mirrored, but if we shine a bright light at it, we can see through the glass and see there's a camera there. Now, this technique can also work on two-way mirrors. So the camera is USB powered, and the wall charger it's plugged into is actually also a camera. If we shine the light on it, you can see that little pinhole in the middle with the blue reflection. That is the camera lens.
That's why there's a smoke detector exactly opposite my toilet.
Yes. You're depriving so many people.
Mike, the video is just for me.
That's smart, though. How you could probably spot one.
Yeah,
I get it. It's creepy. It's just plain creepy.
It is creepy. When you think about that. Let's close with this. A college kid going back to college after Thanksgiving. He's got a little brother. He's a toddler. He's in a high chair. He's literally eating cake with a spoon. He's doing that toddler thing where he has cake all over his face. And he just says goodbye. I love this. Brother's saying goodbye after the Thanksgiving holiday.
Bye, Rome. I love you.
Bye, Rome.
I love you.
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 Love you.
I love you.
The little brother's in eighth grade. Let's leave Soundtown. Goodbye, everybody.
Now leaving Soundtown.
Soundtown.
Please come again.
There it is. Soundtown, everybody. We got to get out of here. That's one. By the way, very similar departure yesterday out in the front yard with my son and my daughter, aww, Catherine, and her beau. And glad they're all safe at home now. And what a great Thanksgiving it was. Our thanks go out to Dan Ware, our wonderful talking head today. If you would like to be a talking head just like Dan Ware, send your info to rob@mikeomaraShow.com. We would appreciate
Make
that.
Make sure you include a phone number. That's important.
A number. Murder dirter. Make sure you do that. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
I love you.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Yeah,
good night, ladies.
Good night.